Good morning, church. I'm privileged to come back here because I'm excited to actually preach from you this passage on true godliness and Paul's final exhortation. So without further ado, let me read to you 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll go from verse 3 all the way to the end. There are Bibles in the pews if you'd like to join me, yeah? Nice with pictures as well. Don't be distracted by the pictures, yeah? But we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, look from verses 3 to 21. Sorry. These are the things you are to teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires, and plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life of which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all. This is the word of the Lord. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, O Ancient of Days, we come before you that though the nations raise, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one King who rules over them all. So let us not fear while this truth remains that our God is the Ancient of Days. Thank you, O Lord, that this morning as we sit at your feet by the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us, that this passage may be a message that is relevant and prevalent in our lives, for our lives, for this season of this world. Give us, O Lord, your discerning ears and eyes to see and hear you, and mold us and make us in the image of your Son as we give our life to you, O Potter, into your hands. Bless this time as we go through your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A Bible story just came to me that I think is very relevant to this passage here. Jesus told this story. There was once a rich man who in one harvest time had acquired and had harvested much fruit. So much so that his barns was bursting. And so this rich man sat back, thought about it and said, what should I do? Now, just some background. According to the law or according to the Jewish tradition, if you have abundance, you leave it out for the poor. That is what Ruth was doing in the Old Testament. She was gleaning, taking up the leftovers from the abundance of God's harvest and to keep it for herself for the poor while the rich fill their barns full. So that means this farmer was a kiam siap kui. Go and pick up all the extra fruit and stuff it into the barn. By Jewish culture, they should give it to the poor. And if he had has abundance, or if he finds out that actually God has been consistently blessing him, then the next harvest season, he may expand his barns. But he looked at the situation and said, I know what I will do. Right now, I will build bigger barns, fill them all up, and then I will sit back and relax and say, well done with your work. Now you may eat, drink, and be merry. Then God came to him in the night and said, you fool! This night, I will take your life, right? I'll take your life. For what is the point for a man to gain the whole world but forfeits his own soul? This is the transcendent truth that Jesus is talking about that is a direct conflict to true godliness. The situation is people are being manipulated from their emotions to give money to idols, to secret knowledge, to teachers, so that they may acquire additional assurance for their salvation. I wonder if you heard of this Hollywood phenomenal movie called Padman. Have you heard this movie, Padman? It's about the guy who decided to make for his wife and for women in India affordable sanitary pads, because sanitary pads that was imported was very expensive, and because they were very expensive, women's hygiene was very much compromised. And so he decided to make his own cheap and affordable one. Of course, it was taboo. It was taboo because why? What is a man doing with women's hygiene stuff? Putting that aside, on top of that, in the background, when he looked at the situation, he said, why is it that the women don't have enough money to buy the sanitary pads? Well, that's because in the village area, there were a lot of these traveling gurus that came by and say, if you give this money, I will bless you. You take this little token, you bring it home, and then you'll become even more wealthy. And so they will put these false hopes in this idols that comes by again and again, and they remain poor, remain sick, remain unavailable to be able to buy the premium sanitary pads for their women's health. So Padman decided to change the direction to say, okay, if I can't make the society see the silliness of giving money to gurus thinking that will give them a bit of blessing, I will make sanitary pads more affordable. But Timothy and we who are firm gospel bearers, we bear this burden as well as this privilege to know the truth that in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation, there is no extra payment, there is no SST to salvation. Salvation is freely given and freely received. And that is where Paul is charging Timothy to work on. Now, some of you may come up to me and say, Mark, why are you harping again about this false teaching? Do we really have a lot of false teaching going on in Malaysia? Well, you tell me lah, huh? There are 50 known cults and occults working rapidly in Malaysia. And if each of them have 5 branches, we have 250 branches to work on. And that is the one that we know are churches that are preaching a false gospel. Things like the Church of God who reject the Trinity. Things like the Mormon Church who say Joseph Smith is the additional prophet. Things like Jehovah's Witness to say that Jesus was the archangel. Things that say that Jesus came in the form of a South Korean senior pastor in Korea. It's coming, and it's coming around. And mark you me, even now, I bet you a lot of you have TikTok and Instagram videos or YouTube short videos, and you're watching about what could it possibly mean for Iran to join the battle between Israel and Palestine. You know, and then you look at Old Testament, Persia and all that. Paul warns Timothy, who now warns us, to be careful. And in that, how do we prevent ourselves from following these false godliness? We identify and depict true godliness. This is what Paul is directing. So, first things first, true godliness. True godliness is contesting for Christ. True godliness is contesting for Christ. Paul identifies the enemy in verses 3 and 4, where he says these, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil, suspicious, and constant friction between deceiving people of corrupt minds who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. So many people will start giving out this teaching with the hope for profit. They will say, hey, the end is near, you know. Make sure you don't put yourself with the mark of the beast. But if you donate $1 now to this PayPal account, you will receive a little mark of Jehovah, and then you can put it, and then you can put it on your forehead, and then you will know that then you will know that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will not hit you, He will bless you and will make your name great. By the way, that's a real thing. You can find it on Amazon. It's very sad. Okay. What then happens is that we Christians in our comfort sometimes may feel like, oh, we're hearing the same thing again. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sunday school answer every Sunday is Jesus. And because of that, our curiosity opens up, and then it says, and then people come up to you and say, hey, you know, there's some more teaching here. I met this pastor. I did this Bible study and I learned so much more. I've been so well fed because of this teacher's teaching, of this doctor, or this reverend, of this prophet, of this apostle, you know, and I'm feeling much, and I'm really growing right now. You should come and join too. Just a little statistic, 60% of those who are in cults, like Shincheonji, okay, like God the Mother, 60% of them were Christians before. And if you go in this little rabbit hole called Reddit, and you go onto the Shincheonji subreddit reading, you will hear all the testimony the same again and again and again. It's either I was a Christian and then I found the truth in this Reverend Lee's teaching on Shincheonji, and now I'm so fulfilled. And at the same time, you will find these people who have run out of that Shincheonji cult faith, and they will say, my dear God, even though I was a Christian for 10 to 15 years, I did not know that this group was a cult until it was too late, and I was stuck in this faith for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, giving my money, wasting my time, staying in secret, alienating myself from my family. And in the end, who profits the most? That organization. Therefore, our response to true godliness is we must recognize the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the godly teaching that is being passed down from the Word. I wonder, my dear friends, is your curiosity or is your contesting or your digging in for the Christian faith, is it for your own morbid curiosity or is it really to know Christ more? Are you the kind of person that can focus on the main thing, or do you tend to get distracted by other white rabbits that tends to happen on the side? This is a very fair warning. Be careful of all the other side discussions. All the law, the prophets and the apostles point to one thing only, and that is the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Second thing, my dear friends, are you looking into all this teaching, which can be interesting, can be fun, okay? I should know. I spent 5-6 years studying about cults and occults, and they can be very fun rabbit holes and funny things to learn and discover, you know? If you look at my library now, yeah, it looks like I'm starting my own religion, you know? It's possible. No, it's not possible. I'm not going to do that. But if you forget to keep the main thing, you end up being absorbed into it and also in their attitude. And what is the attitude? You are looking into this more knowledge so that you can find more ways to keep yourself safe, keep yourself secure, keep yourself above the suffering, prevent yourselves from the coming end times, or even if the end should come, you should end comfortably. So when you're listening to these videos, What is your reaction? Is your reaction, oh, maybe I should buy a piece of land in Raup so if everything goes to pieces, I can just retreat there and eat durians out of my orchard, which some Christians, so-called Christians, have done lah. But the true response is this. If we are responding to the true instructions and God and godly teachings of Jesus Christ, our response is, as the end of the world is coming, more the reason to go out and share the gospel. Don't be like the rich man who is just trying to keep his barns full, when actually you should be giving out as much as you can to those in need so that they too may find hope in the living God whom you find your hope as well. Are you looking at the end of the world and your first response is, or maybe I should sell those shares out because I think the market's gonna drop 20 points soon? Or is it, oh dear, the time is coming. We should be more serious in proclaiming the good news. Contest for Christ. Secondly, content with Christ. Godliness, true godliness is contesting work for Christ. Godliness is being content with Christ. Verses 6 to 10 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap into many foolish and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So we see Paul expands out the problem into what the Old Testament teaches in Job and Ecclesiastes. Job and Ecclesiastes are very good Old Testament books to remind us that this life on this world is not our final destination. This life in this world is not our final goal. Or in the young people speak, although most of them are in camp, this life that we know is not the end game. The end game, the real direction or godliness in this world is to realize that we're not meant to be consuming all the things in this world and finding contentment here, because nothing in this world lasts forever. Don't believe me? Look at all the things you buy on Lazada. How long they last? Before you buy another one and another one and another one. And then you find, oh, Temu gives free gifts. Let's try that. Are you chasing yourself into all these kinds of things? And you're trying to find the next best thing to fit in your kitchen or your living room or your hall, when actually you should find the thing that gives you contentment in your heart. Then the famous words of advice, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Pause there for a moment. The love of money tells us that money is not the main problem, okay? The Church of Jesus Christ uses money to advance God's kingdom. Members, thank you so much for your faithfulness in coming to last week's members meeting and passing the budget so that we may extend God's kingdom for the year to come. It's all about, that meeting was about money, but it was about God's money and how we can work out His kingdom. But it's the love of money. If we love money too much, we will not just be thinking about buying one house. We'll be thinking about buying the other house and the other house and the other house. I am quite happy to hear among the membership today to say that, Pastor Mark, dear elders, after this house, no more buying buildings. Enough. If we were to raise another multi-million ringgit budget, we should raise it to do church planting and missions. And I agree, absolutely agree. The harvest out there is plentiful. The laborers are few and the resources are limited. I'm thankful that among our guests here includes brothers and sisters from Campus Crusade in India and also Navigators, who both ministries have benefited, that we have benefited from their extension work into universities and into even the Boys Brigade children. They use Navigators material, and much of our new members material and discipleship comes from the Navigators. You have no idea how much we benefit from that. But you know what? They do that at no cost. And so they look at the generosity of the church, how we may give to that rather than to our own advantage. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So it's one. It's a big one. It's a thick one, but there's many. So maybe you come up to me and say, Pastor, I don't love money. Okay. Can I see your whiskey collection? You like to buy Hennessy, the Horse XO, you know? For the love of Labubu is a root of all evil. Why does a doll cost 70 ringgit? And the face is not even nice. For the love of all kinds of idols in this world is the root of all evil. If you do that, you get absorbed back again into this world. Friends, if you find contentment with Christ, you will find all these things are nice to have, you can afford to have, fine, but it's never a need, it's never a draw, it's never an addiction. How can you grow your contentment in life now to a point that you realize that you have an abundant to give unto others in need? For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This term, pierced themselves, is going back to the ear piercings and tattooings, which represents their affiliation to a certain group teaching. Okay, now please don't look at your daughters and your wives now and say, what cult are you part of? Okay, different thing now. Okay, all right. Some of you guys might have joined a group that just requires a press of your smartphone to sign and agree certain terms and conditions. Some of you have agreed to follow up an idol by subscribing on the YouTube video and every time you find to watch. Some of us might be following the very desires of our hearts to think that what is a comfortable way of living when actually it's a very high risk, because what is the use of gaining the whole world and yet forfeit your own soul? Are you content with Christ, or do you feel often that you need a little more? Do you often feel disappointed by the things that you get, whether it be from your Lazada orders or from your subscriptions or from your participations in certain activities, thinking that it makes you a better person without God? If that is true, maybe we need to recalibrate ourselves, reconfigure ourselves to find our contentment again in Christ. Finally, true godliness is you are contesting for Christ, you are content with Christ, and your cornerstone is Christ. Now let's get to the application. Paul is basically pointing out to all the sinking holes that is happening out there. All the, secret knowledge. Controversial but entertaining information. Quick rich scheme, spiritual quick maturity process. You know, give $10 here and give $10 here and the senior pastor will pray that you get $10,000 back. I mean, what, you get that kind of return? You know, sometimes we feel, is it worth a try? So Paul is pointing out all these sinkholes. And now let's look at the cornerstone, the rock, the solid foundation. And on this solid foundation of Christ, here are a few things we can do. Number one is fight the good fight, which is your true calling. Okay, verses 11 to 16. But you, man of God, number one is, when you fight the good fight, you have identified the team that you're in. Have you identified your team that you're fighting for? And if you're not on the side of God, you're on the side of someone else that is not worth fighting for. So Paul identifies to Timothy. Timothy, man of God, here's then what you should do. Flee from all of this superstition and all these false teachings and all of these things, which, because it can tempt Timothy very much, because he himself is a preacher, and if he wants to profit and benefit, all he has to do is join the scheme and maybe earn some money. Flee from all this, Paul says, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. This is one of the strings of characteristics of the Holy Spirit which Paul puts together. Yeah. So he says, okay. So basically he's saying, fight the good fight, not with your weapons, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So fight for the team, fight for Team Jesus, number one. Number two, fight with the power of the Holy Spirit by practicing godliness, righteousness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And of course, the moment you think that, if you've been in Sunday school enough, you will definitely be able to remember the rest, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these things practice the fruit of the Spirit. Not the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God gives to you, praise be to God. But don't look out for that, because what is the point if you get such good gifts from God but your fruit is rotten? I don't care if you prophesy, if you can prophesy the end of the world, but if your words also include swearing, I don't want to hear it. You may be generous, but if you're also a pervert, what's the point? You may be able to command and encourage people to go out and make disciples, but if you're a mean person, if you're not loving, if you don't show godliness, what's the point of the gift if the fruit is rotten? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life. What is the goal? To take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. God has gifted this to you when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So Paul is telling Timothy to recall the calling that he had received as soon as he confessed Christ as Lord and Savior. And that is to be the preacher, elder, pastor, missionary. That was his specific calling. But what is your true calling, brothers and sisters? To some, I'm so thankful as I interact with brothers and sisters, I can see very clearly some of you are words of encouragement. Some of you are preaching, and we hope to groom you and grow you so that you can join the pulpit. Some of you are leadership. Some of you are generosity. Some of you are hospitality. In fact, many of you are hospitality. Don't believe me? Look at all the pastors that has worked here in the past 10 years and look at their pant size growing. It takes a lot of discipline, like Pastor Ching Chong, to say no most of the time and to try and still fit because of the great immense hospitality. You know your gifts. Some of you know this calling, and by God, you are doing much good work. For those of you who don't know yet, now is the time for you to ask, oh God, you have called me to your salvation. Call me also to your commission. What do you want me to do? Because in the end, dee-dee-doo-doo-da-da, the main thing we're supposed to do is make disciples. If you don't know what your calling is, make disciples. Students, they're not here, but maybe you can tell your nephews and nieces. If they don't know what to do with themselves after SPM, sign up for internship in PBC. If they don't know what to do for college, go and make disciples. Then very quickly, God will say, oh, I think God has called me to marketing or management or medicine or law or so on and so forth. But in the end of the day, the core thing is their true calling is to fight the good faith in making disciples, because the battlefield is the soul of men, of others who have yet to know the gospel. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. So we see that the testimony, and not just of one's testimony of how he received Christ as Lord, but also the testimony of why Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, this may sound familiar to you, but let me press it in a little bit because it's in the text. Okay, Paul is telling Timothy, please work out your calling in preaching and teaching, but remember, it's not about you. It's about Jesus in you. It's about what and who is Jesus to you. And it's also about, not just about how Jesus became your Lord and Savior, but why Jesus became your Lord and Savior. Unfortunately, many of our children and many of ourselves might, in our testimony, think that we are answering the why Jesus is Lord and Savior by giving the answer of how you became a Christian. No, how you became a Christian is how Jesus became your Lord and Savior. Why Jesus became your Lord and Savior is a slightly different answer, even though it sounds very similar. What happens if you answer why with how? Okay, so two kids are talking to each other, and the non-Christian asks the Christian and say, oh, why did you become a Christian? Say, oh, I was invited to vacation Bible school, you know, and then after there was the Christmas party, you know, and then every Sunday we had one fun activity or to another. Come Easter Sunday, the uncle in front asked anyone to receive Jesus. I lift up my hand and I became a Christian. Remember, what does that sound like? It sounds like you're joining a cult. It sounds like brainwashing. It also sounds like chance. Because can you imagine, oh, I joined the Buddhist Association, became a Buddhist, because why? Oh, there was a Dharma party, there was a water festival, and my friend invited me. And then after that, we went to Dharma class every Sunday, okay? And then after Dharma class, during Wesak, they invited me to bathe the Buddha, and before you know it, I'm a Christian. I'm a Buddhist. Sounds like chance. The real root of it is why, which then Paul reminds Timothy, this Christ Jesus who testified before Pontius Pilate, so Jesus Christ is a real person, a real sacrifice. And he tells us then, and then Paul tells Timothy, remember this Lord Jesus Christ, keep his command, keep his testimony without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because part of our statement of faith is he will come again in judgment and mercy to all, which God will bring about in his own time. What is our exercise in fighting the good fight? Is when we worship, okay? A boxer goes to the gym to practice the sequences and how to fight. A worshiper comes to church, and our worship reflects what we know. Do we hear the word from the preacher? Do we sing the songs in our heads? Because that is sound doctrine. So long as we sing songs of sound doctrine, which I'm quite thankful Pantai Baptist Church does. Two things PBC we are committed to do, and that is this: we are Christ-centered. We are Bible-driven. That means we preach expository preaching, and our worship reflects Christ all the time. The church in Pantai wouldn't mind or can manage any other ministry to fail except the preaching of the word and the worship of his name. And Paul reflects that. In all of a sudden, he's singing, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, with whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. So basically, Paul is suddenly writing a chorus as part of it. Because why? It's something that he resonates with Timothy. It's a tune that they all used to know. And this actually helps us remember the concrete truths of the grace of our Lord Jesus. That's why, like the songs we sing just now, God is good. God is good all the time. And in that song, you hear the whole gospel, right? If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. For He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us, He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify that His love is everlasting and that His promise is everlasting and His mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. Though I may not understand all the plans you have for me, my life is in your hands. And through the eyes of faith, I can clearly see that God is good and all the time. So yeah, please increase your YouTube and Spotify playlists to include sound biblical songs. Because believe it or not, when you are in your darkest corner, these songs will give you hope and peace. None above Him, none before Him, all the time in His hands. For His throne shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in His name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. Fight the good fight and exercise while you're here, and also do some spiritual warm-ups every day in singing of songs and reading this word and praying in the Spirit. Secondly, put your hope in God, which is your true wealth. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming of age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Suddenly, Paul is telling Timothy to command the rich. Why? Because he also knows that the rich are also part of this, also being duped into like, oh, I buy this idol, I buy this charm, I buy this special number. Okay, that's a more Chinese thing, lah. Huh? When a funeral comes around the corner, we ask for 4D number. Okay, we do all these things. But he tells the rich Christians, hey, rich Christians, if you really believe in the gospel that I share with you, your response is not to try and find more wealth and security in yourself in this world. Your response should be that you should be willing to give unto others, because you realize that this life is short and there's much more to be done for others to receive the same eternal life as you have. So to the rich, or to those who are comfortable. Pastor, I'm not rich, says the one who drives off in a Lamborghini. Pastor, I'm not rich, I'm comfortable. Okay, if you are comfortable, means you have extra to share. What did Jesus say? If someone asks for your coat, give your shirt as well. If you have extra food, give some to spare. If you see, look at the plate of the other person, not just so that you can find recommendations from this restaurant, but also see if that person has had enough. And if not, maybe cheng sek lah. Because when you do this, you lose the temporary wealth here, which is fine. Because why? You're building yourself a treasure for themselves as a firm foundation when the time comes and when it really hits. Your firm foundation is in Christ and Christ alone, the one who defeated death, and so do we. And so do we as we believe in Him. Finally, guard the gospel. Guard the gospel, which is your true entrustment. Okay? Those of us who theoretically or hypothetically may have a trust account that you're just living off of, okay? Or if you know a friend who is living off a trust account, we know that there are two kinds of trust account holders. Number one, there are those who just spends it until it's empty and goes become a beggar. Or he also knows that that money needs to be carefully looked after in order to prolong its utility. Our true entrustment is a holding that never finishes, because the bank is the gospel and the currency is love. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Dear Pantai Baptist Church, dear brother and sister in Christ, from near and far, guard what has been entrusted to your care, that is the gospel. Turn away from the godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Okay, that is a play of words that Paul is doing, because the word there, knowledge, is gnosis, from where we get the word Gnostic. So you end up hearing these people say, oh, you know this? Hey, I have this Bible teaching that maybe we should not call Jesus Jesus. We should call Him Yeshua. And we should not call God Father. We should call Him Yahweh. These are the Hebrew roots cult. And it's prominent of all places in Indonesia. Why? Because for them, etymology and semantics are very important. So when they feel, oh, maybe my prayer is not being answered because I'm calling on the wrong God, I shouldn't be calling upon Abba. I should be calling upon Yahweh or Jehovah. Or maybe I shouldn't call Jesus Jesus, I should call Him Yeshua Mashiach. Then all my prayers are answered. Hey, hello. These little things, for what? Does it make you love the gospel more? Or does it make you more tied up to words? And what did Paul say? Interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and evil suspicions. What is the gospel? Very simple. Very, very simple. Jesus is the name above all names, in whom you may be saved in his death and his resurrection. You believe in him, he is your redeemer, and you will be with him. You believe in him, you will be with him. That's the truth. Guard it. Which some have professed in so doing and have departed from the faith. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What is the point of getting the whole world and lose your own soul? These people in this world, many, many among us, or even many in the Christian community today, when the things get rough and hard, will they turn to Jesus or will they turn to their own plan B? Dear brothers and sisters, are you guarding the gospel even now so that when the going gets tough, the gospel remains firm as your foundation? Or do you quickly drop it to go somewhere else? That is where your true discipleship will be put to the test. Heavy words, to finish up 1 Timothy. But let me give you two good news. Number one, there's not just one Timothy, there's two Timothy. So we're starting that next week. Second thing is, all of this heavy instruction is because Paul knows that Timothy can do it. We, my dear friends, Jesus Christ know that whatever comes our way, he knows that we can take it as we hold firm to his gospel. And when all things fail, none above him, none before him, all of time in his hands, his throne shall remain and ever stand. And in everything we do, all power, all glory be trusted in his name. For our God is the Ancient of Days. Let's pray. Oh Father, we give you thanks and praise that even though Timothy was in a very difficult situation, you remain to be his Ancient of Days. Though the dark may come, or though I may not see what the future brings, I will watch and wait for the Savior King. Then my joy complete, standing face to face in the presence of the Ancient of Days. Thank you, Lord, that we may contest for your name, because your name is victory. Your name is victorious. Your name is Jesus, the name that is above all names, the name that is being echoed to the ends of the earth, the name that shall last forever, so that even when we perish, your name remains supreme. And we can cling to that name, the name Jesus. And in that name, Jesus, we may rise and live forevermore in victory, in glory. Teach us, O Lord, that we may be content with the name of Jesus. We pray against every false teacher who dares to take your position. We pray against those pastors who claims to say that if I preach to you, it's like God speaking to you. We pray against those false teachers who say that they are the second coming of Jesus, because we know Jesus and they don't look anything like him. Teach us, O Lord, to be content with you and you alone. And teach us, O Lord, to make you our cornerstone. On that firm foundation, we may fight and contest for the good news. On that firm foundation, we may be generous, knowing that our everlasting treasure is not on this earth, where moths can eat it and rot and decay will consume it. But our treasure is in heaven, O God, it's with you, where no rust, no decay, no moth, no rot will ever diminish it. And finally, O God, may we guard that gospel so that when those who try and give others a false one, they may say, hey, that is not the right one. I have seen the right one, and that is the one that will last forever. Yours is a cheap knockoff. Oh Lord, see this world and is being consumed by the lies of this world. But guard our hearts, oh Lord, by your Holy Spirit, so that we may find true contentment, true contest for your name, and make you our cornerstone. Father, I pray for those of us whose faith is a little shaky in this day and age. Lord, I pray that you will secure it now by your Holy Spirit into the potter's hands. We give, O Lord, our lives to you, so you may mold us and make us to be the splitting image of your Son Jesus for those who are in need. And for those who are shaky in their faith, O God, we pray that they may be encouraged by your Holy Spirit even now. For those who have yet to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, I beg you that Jesus comes knocking at the door of your heart, that you will let him in. Let him be your eternal Lord. Though the nations rage, kingdoms will rise and fall, there is still one King. He will reign over all, and that is Jesus. Will you make him the King over your heart? And for those who stand firm in the faith, O God, we pray that our cornerstone will continue to remain secure. We know it's secure, O God, because not even death can take it down. You remain forevermore. So we ask the Lord that even as we go from here, for this whole week and forevermore, may we continue to sing that my God is the Ancient of Days. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.